Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Honesty and Ethics here at Car Talk Plaza. Go ahead.
Every year, the Gallup Organization, as we call it, does a poll asking people to rate the degree of honesty and ethics among various professions. And we always look at the bottom of the list to see how we're doing. And
you and me personally, or the auto repair?
The auto repair industry in brethren. And here's the bottom of the list. The good news is that automobile mechanics are rated higher than lawyers, but not by much. This is the percentage of people who said, who rated their ethics and honesty high or very high. And it was 18% for lawyers, and 22% said it for automobile mechanics.
We're moving on up.
And you want to take a stab at what is at the very bottom of the list? The number is 8%.
The very bottom of the list.
And if this is right below advertising practitioners, who only got 11%, but this group got only 8%.
The general contractors.
No. Car salesmen.
Oh, car salesmen. Oh, well, of course.
Oh, well, it's good to know. I don't know what it's good to know. It's better not to think about
it. I mean, are they perennially at the bottom of the list, car salesmen?
I don't know. I mean, I was just looking to see if we had last year's numbers, but we don't. All we have is the current numbers, which just came out recently. What is this, dated October?
1980. Well, anyway, if you have a car question for my ethically challenged brother.
Yeah, or my ethically challenged brother. My lion sleazeball brother.
Give us a call.
Unethical, dishonest.
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Hannah from Marlboro.
Hannah.
Yes.
H-A-N-N-A-H?
Very close. It's with a C. It's a her name.
Hannah. Ah, Hannah.
Yes.
Like the bread.
Exactly.
What's the bread called?
What's the... Challah.
Challah, that's
Very
it.
Close.
Yeah. Very close. Hannah.
And you're from Marlboro, Mass?
Yes, I am.
So what's up, kiddo?
So I just got my first car. It's very exciting.
What'd you get?
I got a 1994 Mercury... I don't even remember the name. Make. It's from my father.
I can't even remember the make. Is it big or small?
It's a station wagon.
Is it a Sable?
Yes. No.
No. It's a car. It's
Tracer?
It's a car. Yes, it's a Tracer. Thank you.
Tracer?
Yes.
Well, and you got this from Dad?
I got it from Dad because actually I tried to buy a new car and I couldn't get a car dealer to take me seriously.
Really?
I went there with actual money and they said they couldn't talk to me about price until I had my father or my husband with me.
How old are you?
I'm 30, actually. That's my first car.
And we wonder why car salesmen are at the bottom of the list.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
What's with those guys?
Did you tell them you were offended by that statement?
I was very offended. I almost wrote them a letter, but I just let it go.
Don't let it go.
No.
Someone's got to straighten them out. I mean, what's with these guys?
I know. They were really, really nasty. So anyway, so my father took pity on me, and he
was it a Ford dealership?
It was actually a Dodge dealership.
Mm.
All right.
So my father took pity on me, and he gave me his old car, and he got a new car.
What did he get? A Lexus?
No. They actually got a Dodge Caravan.
Which he bought from these guys who wouldn't sell you a car.
Which he got from another dealer who was very nice, actually.
All right.
So the problem is that he tells me I should...
Notice how long we delayed getting you to ask a question.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, your time is almost up, so you better hurry.
Yeah, so what's the question?
Well, the question is, he says that I should warm it up because it's bad to drive on an engine that's cold. So my husband said that in his Honda manual, that if you leave a car idling, you can actually start a fire if there's something like leaves or something under the car.
Okay, so far, you should not listen to either of these guys.
Well, but I'm leaning more toward your husband.
Yeah?
Your husband is sort of right.
Because the other day my dad, it was cold, and he made me warm up the car for 20 minutes.
Your dad's nuts.
He's usually quite a reasonable guy, but yeah. So.
Well, yeah, well, what? I don't know what to do here.
Well, it was really cold, so he figured anyway.
Yeah, well, 20 minutes of warm-up is absurd.
I thought that was excessive myself.
And we've always recommended that in extremely cold weather, around 0 or 5 degrees or whatever, it's not terrible to let the car warm up for a minute or so. But no more than that.
What about on a regular day?
On a regular day like what?
Even in the winter when it's like 30, 40 hours.
Just get in and drive.
Get in and drive.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you lived right on like an entrance ramp to the highway, it would be bad for the car if you got it started and started driving at 70 right away.
Yeah.
But it will warm up fastest if you drive it at moderate speeds and then at highway speeds after a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And it'll warm up faster if you drive it than if it just sits there.
Oh, good. You've saved me considerable time and gas.
Yeah, but the real issue is how are we going to deal with your father?
No, he's a great guy. I mean, he gave me a car, so we love him.
Does he warm his...
Oh, I love him, too. But what are we going to do about him?
Does he warm his car up for 20 minutes?
No, not usually. He just usually a few minutes. But the other day, yeah, I wasn't ready to leave yet. It was cold out, so he just turned on my car.
Well,
and
I think there's more to it here than meets the eye.
Well, I think so, too. That's why I don't want to drop
it. I don't think he really wants you to drive. I think he's hoping that while you're warming the car up, runs out of gas. That's it.
Or someone will come and pick you up.
That could be.
Yeah, I think he wants to keep you off the road. After all, this is your first car.
That's true.
Yeah, I think he has ulterior motives here. So you should ask him going on.
I'll have to speak with him.
Yeah. And you might want to, by the way, since it is winter, go to our website, cartalk.com, and we are featuring this month and this month only, winter driving tips. Wouldn't that be a good thing to have?
That would be a good thing to have.
Winter comes.
And you can actually print it up and show it to Dad.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and it'll have it says, don't warm it up.
I will do that.
See you, Hannah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Seth from Little Rock.
Seth, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Is that the Little Rock that's in Arkansas?
That is the Little Rock that is in Arkansas.
Cool.
What's going on, Seth?
Well, my car is broken.
Aww.
And my mom gave me her old car, which you would think would be really nice. It's a Mazda Millennia S.
That's a nice car.
Yeah, well, it was when my mom had it, but when I broke it, or when I got it, it started breaking.
A little Freudian slip there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's the problem.
Yeah.
It was clicking when I turned, so I replaced both CV joints. I had an extended warranty, so that was easy.
Good.
Then it sort of stopped clicking, but then I replaced the brakes myself, like the brake pads.
Right.
Okay, now it's clicking badly when I turn right. But both CV boots seem to be intact.
You replaced the CV joints, right?
Or CV axles, I think.
You replaced the entire axle.
The whole axle.
And
right.
who did this job?
Oh, some mechanic here in Little Rock.
And it was covered by a warranty?
Yeah, it was an extended warranty that, I don't know, my dad finagled it somehow.
Yeah. And after they did the axles, it was quiet.
Yeah, I think it was quiet for a while. And then it didn't start clicking again until I replace the brakes.
Immediately? I mean,
immediately.
You replaced the brakes, you got in the car, you drove, and it started clicking.
Right.
Okay, so we can safely assume that you screwed up something.
Yeah, I think that would be a very safe assumption.
Okay, I just wanted to establish that before we...
Well, before we plunge onward here, mm-hmm. Is it the same kind of clicking that you had before the axles were replaced that you're hearing now? You know, the clicking that you're hearing now, is it exactly the same as the axle clicking?
Yeah, it sounds the same to me.
And it's does it click when you go straight or turn or not or neither or what?
It's
both?
Just when I turn. And it's when I turn right and I have to turn pretty sharp right. Like if I'm just like, say I'm going and I turn right, like veer to the right, it won't do it. But if I'm stopped and then I turn right like at a stop sign, then it clicks badly.
And when it makes the clicking,
mm-hmm.
Is the clicking coming from the left front wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it is?
What?
It's a bad axle. One bad axle can ruin the whole bunch.
Now,
yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I was trying. Since automobile mechanics are not rated very high in people's estimation,
you're a lawyer. You're right below us, man.
I was trying to save them from any further embarrassment. And that's why I wanted to impress upon people that you had screwed up, but I take it back. I don't think you did.
No, I don't think you did either. And as a matter of fact, if you have one of these extended warranties, what they probably authorized was a replacement with a rebuilt axle.
Mm-hmm.
And like anything that's rebuilt, they can be rebuilt either properly or improperly.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that yours weren't done very well.
You got a defective one.
And after a short period of time, the thing started making noise, just like your old ones were making noise.
Okay.
And you need to have them put a new one in. So you're off the hook, Seth. You didn't screw anything up yet.
Well, that is very relieving. But
well, at least not anything that's got any symptoms not right now.
But now that your warranty is over, you're going to have to pony up for this.
Yeah, and it's not cheap.
Yeah, no, you're done for.
Yeah, unless you threaten to sue them.
Yeah, well, I could do that.
Do they know you're a lawyer?
No.
Tell them.
You think?
Yeah.
I hate to throw that around, though, because I'm just a new lawyer, and I'm not very good yet.
Well, when you sign the repair order, put Esquire after you.
Esquire?
Yeah.
Thanks, fellas.
Good luck, Seth.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy from Pittsburgh.
Hi, Kathy.
Pittsburgh.
How are you?
That must be with a K.
Yes.
I'm batting about 990 on this, man.
You're doing great. So what's up, Kathy?
My thrifty husband refuses to part with our 1985 Toyota Corolla, which has seen better days. We need a more reliable car, and my question is, how do I get him to think it's his idea to get a new car?
Well, why does he not want to buy a car?
Well, we're going to be putting an addition on our house, and so he's focusing all his money on the addition.
Yeah.
And he said the car will come later.
Yeah. And why are you so hell-bent on getting a car?
Well, back in July, we had to do $1,200 in repair, like replace the head gasket. And then when I went to use it in November, I was going on a trip up to Erie. I filled up the gas tank. And
it fell out.
I turned around.
You should never fill it all the way out.
No, gas is heavy.
No, I was paying money, and I turned around, and there's gas pouring out from the gas tank. So I called him up, and I said, "Dear, there's gas coming out of the gas tank." And he says, "Well, don't fill it up all the way."
Yeah.
I said,
"Yeah, he knew that."
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
And there's three cracks in the windshield, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he just won't part with it.
Uh-huh.
Is he the same when it comes to other things like clothes? Does he wear shoes with big holes in them? And he says they're perfectly fine. It's not raining out.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
It's more when he decides something is the way it is, then he goes for it. But it has to be his idea.
Yeah.
It can't be, you know how men are.
Yeah.
But he's basically a waste not, want not kind of guy.
I guess.
Is this the only car you have?
No, I have a 93 Toyota Camry. That's the one I drive.
Oh, so this is his car?
Yes.
What are you sticking your nose where it doesn't belong?
Well, it's our fallback car, and sometimes I do have to drive it, and my children ride in it, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can understand. I mean...
No, I say let sleeping dogs lie.
Just let it go?
I mean, when it comes time to do something, he'll do it.
Well, we've been putting so much into car repairs that...
Oh, but you can never put as much into car repairs as you do into the bank when you buy one.
Well.
I mean, $1,200 is pales in comparison to $1,200.
And who would you rather give the money to? Your friendly neighborhood repairman or some stuffy, dishonest banker?
Well, our friendly neighborhood repairman told us to get a new car.
Well, you know what you need? You need an ally here. You have to, without your husband's knowledge, you have to take this thing to the repair shop and have them really check it out as if you were going to buy the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
You want it checked out stem to stern.
Right.
And then if you give the guy enough money.
He'll say anything you want him to say. These guys are like lawyers, you know. They're just a step above lawyers, as we know from this Gallup poll.
Right. The next time your husband goes in for some kind of service, this fellow can put the car in the lift and say, "Oh, Fred. See, look at this. Your frame is all rotted. You've got to get rid of this car."
And he'll say, "Thank God my name's not Fred."
So that's what needs. I think you need to bribe the guy or at least get him in your corner. And you already know that he suggested a new car.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing that would make it do it for him is safety. So
yes.
If in fact.
I tried that route.
No, but if the mechanic really found. For example,
a rotted frame.
A rotted frame.
Okay.
The whole front end that's falling off, ball joints, tie rod ends.
But considering where you live and the age of the car, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't have any hard evidence, but I wouldn't be surprised if the undercarriage isn't all rotted.
Yeah.
Is your husband the kind of guy who embarrasses easily?
Yeah.
So if you were to ride around, if you were to ride around on the passenger seat with a football helmet and shoulder pads on, you don't think that might influence him?
Hockey helmet, not football helet.
Yeah. Start wearing that when you get in the car.
Yeah. And see if that works. Good luck, Kathy.
Okay, thanks for your help,
with this $1,200 he spent, I'm afraid that it's going to be a tough battle.
Yeah.
Yes.
But to fight the good fight.
Okay,
keep us posted. Good luck.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tommy, do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
Let's see. Did it have to do with noxious fumes, frequent stops, and seven elderly prostates?
No, that's a preview of my upcoming road trip to the Detroit Auto Show with Bugsy and the gang this week.
Oh, yeah. Why did you agree to do this?
I have no idea. But anyway, the puzzler was about a common mathematical symbol, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute.
The used car salesman, she asked me on a date. She says, how about some breakfast? Come and pick me up at 8. I said, I'll be there at 7. In my best set of wheels, and you'll think that you're in heaven when you hear my fan belt squeal. Well, I arrived a little early at 9:15. I was dragging a muffler, had a kink in the fuel line, went through a cloud of exhaust. Old Cupid shot his arrow and her pretty heart was lost when she laid eyes on my Ranchero. No, it isn't quite a truck and it's not really a car, and you'd be testing your luck if you drove it very far. But you can keep that El Camino or your Brat or Caballero, for any man knows where it's at, he'll drive a Ford Ranchero.
And even though NPR's insurance agent doubles our slander premiums whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, since the last few puzzlers had been rather lengthy.
I think interminable was the word the staff used.
Well, yeah. Well, in any case, the most recent puzzler was brief.
And would you say elegant in its simplicity?
Well, let's not get carried away. Anyway, here it is.
Yeah, here it is.
This was, a mathematical puzzler.
Yeah.
Take a piece of paper and write the number 4 and leave a little space and then write the number 5 next to it. You got it?
I'm doing it.
So you have 4 space 5.
4 space 5.
No, it doesn't have to be much
space.
Now, the question very simply was, what common mathematical symbol, one that's used every day when placed between the numbers 4 and 5, would result in a number that is greater than 4 but less than 6? And I didn't want anyone to work too hard on this, because the mathematical symbol that can go, I could have said greater than 4 and less than 5, but that would have made it too easy, is the decimal point between 4 and 5. Yields a number that's greater than 4 and less than 6. Does it not? 4.5.
It does.
It does indeed. And you were thinking of something esoteric.
Well, I didn't think of the decimal point as a mathematical symbol.
And what would it be, a carrot?
I think of it as a period.
Well, I mean, I'm sure everyone was thinking of square roots and division signs and the like.
Yeah, everyone was.
And the lowly decimal point,
makes
as is often the case, was overlooked.
Well, you know what? What did it? The big space in between the two.
The big space, I know. Yeah.
If you hadn't led us astray with the big space,
moi?
We would have all come up with it.
I led you astray? It was not my intention.
No, of course not.
So who's our winner?
The winner this week is Reggie Weeks from Shady Point, Oklahoma. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Reggie's going to win a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of cartalk.com, you lucky guy, Reggie.
Oh, Reggie, he's crying out, hon, I won.
And when you go to the Car Talk website, you can find the full Car Talk line of fine apparel and other cheap junk.
It's a line, all right, a real skinny line. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so stay tuned. And if you have a question about your car, you can give us a call, obviously, at 888-CAR-TALK, which for the alpha numerically challenged is also 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Catherine. I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque, so it must be Catherine with a K.
Yes, it is.
Okie doke.
All right.
Albuquerque.
Exactly.
Got it.
Okay. I have a 1993 Mazda Protege.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is this. It happens in the wintertime. I'll go out and I'll start up my car and it's cold out. And I let it warm up. And the temperature gauge will get to the middle, which it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the heat will come on and all's well. And then if I get on the freeway or do any fast driving, the gauge immediately drops down to cold again.
Plummets, one might say.
Exactly. It plummets.
Plummets, yeah.
And then the heat doesn't work. You know, just cold air comes out.
Yes.
And my question is it just the wind affecting the temperature gauge or is it actually affecting the engine? And what can I do about this?
It's an overly efficient cooling system.
Exactly right. Exactly right. My brother has hit upon it, as he often does, by accident. See, cooling systems, by definition, are designed to be over-efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something placed in the cooling system to make it less efficient under certain circumstances, one of those being cold weather.
Okay.
And what you have to inhibit the efficiency of your cooling system is a device called a thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
And the thermostat, when the engine is approaching operating temperature, the thermostat is closed, thus not allowing the coolant to circulate into the radiator. And when it reaches what's called operating temperature, which for your car is about 200 degrees Fahrenheit, mm-hmm. this thermostat, like a valve, like a faucet, opens up and allows the coolant to travel now from the engine into the radiator and get cooled off.
Okay.
And then
so
back to the engine.
Overheat.
Right.
Okay.
Except that your thermostat opens way too early. In fact, it may be open all the time.
Right.
The reason it comes up to the middle when you're sitting there idling the thing for an hour in your driveway while you're in...
Well, she put her finger right on it.
You know.
Because you're not
breakfast.
Moving.
You ain't moving.
You ain't moving.
And that cold air is not cooling down the engine as much as it does when you're going at 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
So, and the reason you have no heat is because you're cooling off the coolant so much that same coolant, which is supposed to provide you heat in the passenger compartment, can't do it because it's only 100 degrees.
Oh, it doesn't right. have any heat to give you.
You need 200-degree coolant,
right.
And you ain't got it, Catherine.
But
right.
the good part is this is a relatively simple, straightforward, and inexpensive fix.
Now, we never would have looked like geniuses. I could have asked you if your mileage had dropped down recently. You'd notice you were using more gasoline because when your engine doesn't run at the right temperature, it's very inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
You might even fail your state emissions test if they have one out there in New Mexico.
Oh, they do. I haven't gone yet, though.
You haven't gone.
Don't
but if you go now, you're going to flunk. So get your thermostat replaced first. It's relatively cheap. You'll have heat. Your engine will run better, and all will be right with the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you, Catherine.
All right, thanks.
Hey,
thanks,
Catherine.
Yes.
You may have received the only correct answer of this entire show.
Right on.
So consider yourself an extraordinarily fortunate person.
I'm very lucky.
See ya.
And thanks. So are we, for that matter.
Yeah.
Because we got an opportunity to give a right answer. Now, how come people like Catherine don't come back here as Stump the Chump contestants?
Because it's so obvious we gave her the right answer. We should have struggled with it.
We should have struggled with it.
Don't you think so, Catherine?
Phonied it up a little bit. Because I don't think the Stump the Chumps things is completely random.
No. Catherine immediately gets eliminated. She has no chance.
She has no chance.
Catherine, make your question harder next time.
Okay, I'll try.
See you later.
Hey, a pleasure
Thanks.
Talking to you. Good luck.
Bye.
You're right. I mean, we got no chance because if the cards are stacked against us.
No, we should have struggled more with that. We should have asked her some questions.
Yeah, and we should have said, but geez, we're not really sure, but what the heck? Try replacing the thermostat. Who knows? We don't know. Let us know what happens.
Right. It might do it.
Yeah. And then when Dougie listens to the old tapes, he says, let's get her on back because
yeah.
these guys are going to look like real jerks.
Yeah.
Not that it takes
Not that it
anything
takes that,
more
no.
to do it.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cindy from New Jersey.
Cindy. Statewide?
I live in Hopewell, New Jersey.
Oh.
I have a Toyota Matrix, and we were having trouble getting gasoline into the car because inside that little filler tube where you normally put the nozzle, there was a piece that had gotten twisted around.
Well, that little piece is a little flap.
It's like that little flap thing, where it narrows.
Well, yeah, it gets narrow, so you can't put the diesel nozzle in there and fill that thing up with diesel fuel or leaded fuel.
Well, it had gotten twisted around. My husband's solution.
Yeah.
First of all, he's not really a car guy.
Doesn't matter.
He's got basically two tools. One's a pair of pliers and the other's a hammer.
That's okay.
Is he going to use the hammer or what?
Took the pliers and he just ripped that piece out.
Excellent. That's a great. And now everything's fine and dandy, except there's no flap there.
There's no flap and there's no way for it. Now when you put the nozzle in, it falls out. Of course, you got to stand there.
You got to stand there and hold it.
And I kind of smell gas fumes a little bit around
that. You're making that up.
Oh, no.
Come on, Cindy. Tell the truth.
This is what my husband says.
Yeah.
That piece is only there for idiots.
I like your husband already, you know?
He's going to be very happy with that.
Yeah, well,
I think he's absolutely 100% correct. And you should listen to everything he always says.
this is the line he always uses on his wives.
But here's the bigger problem.
Yeah, we're with you here. I feel your pain.
There's no self-serve gas station in New Jersey. You can't do that.
Ah.
So now, whenever I pull into a gas station...
they're all bent out of shape because they have to
stand
there.
They
got to
stand there and hold the nozzle the whole time.
Well, what's going to happen inevitably... is somebody is going to think that he's got that nozzle in there enough that he can walk away.
Yeah.
And while that thing is pumping a gallon a minute or whatever, or even more than that, nozzle is going to fall out, spew gasoline all over the gas station.
I understand, but what are you suggesting that she do?
I suggest that she goes to the Toyota dealer and get a new filler neck. I think if you are smelling fumes, it's entirely possible that in his zeal... or anger to remove this flap, that he damaged the filler neck.
How expensive is that going to be?
I don't imagine it's going to be more than a couple of $100.
No way.
Way?
Well, here's an ethical question I have for you.
Yeah.
This car is leased.
Oh.
And the lease is running out in March.
Oh.
So am I ethically obligated to tell the Toyota people...
What do you think, Cindy? Where are you leaning? have you talked to your clergyman about this? Why are you calling us?
Well, I haven't given you my last name yet.
No, you haven't.
No, we have it.
We better fix it.
I think we ought to fix it.
I mean, the right thing to do is to fix it or at least divulge it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, because if somebody doesn't know about it, he or she is going to pull into a gas station, ask to fill it up, and there's going to be gasoline everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, you could use some middle ground here. You could not take responsibility for it. You could say...
somebody stole it.
Well, that, or you could say, that flap is missing. And it's been a real pain. You don't have to say your husband did it. You can say it's been... and they may say, oh, forget about that. There's so many other things that are wrong with the car that we're just going to crush it. Or that's nothing. You know, we'll get that fixed. So I think to satisfy your conscience...
you have to tell them.
You have to tell them. You don't have to tell them your husband did it. After all, when you got the car, it may have been defective.
Oh.
So it may be that what you did solved one problem, but it was only necessitated by the fact that you had right out of the box another problem.
Yeah, it was their fault.
It was their fault, and you...
that's it.
You're trying to decide whether or not they should have to compensate you. But I think the easiest thing to do is to tell them what it is. I don't know, this thing is missing, and you have to hold the nozzle in. But other than that, they may say, "Oh, you're gonna have to pay for that." And if they do that, then you pay for it.
Okay.
And if they
say, you try to convince them it was like that when they gave it to you.
Oh.
I don't know if I'd do that, but you do what you think is best. But under no circumstances let them see your husband.
Okay.
Especially if he's wearing his tool belt. Good luck.
Okay, thanks very much, guys.
Bye. No, she's going to go right to jail. Hey, easy come, easy go. 888-CAR-TALK.
That was a difficult question to answer.
The
know?
Ethical part, yeah. It certainly was. You know, I mean, you got to tell the truth, but...
Yeah.
Do you have to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? I mean,
well, that's what they
that's
say.
What they thought. Is it what's the exact phrase? The truth,
the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yeah,
she could be telling the truth, but not the whole truth.
No,
and not nothing but the truth.
Certainly not.
I know. She's going to jail. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
This is Kenneth from Palo Alto.
Hi, Kenneth.
Hi,
how are you
Kenneth.
Doing?
Good. And yourselves?
We're doing great. What's going on?
So we went to this hoity-toity black tie New Year's Eve party recently.
Uh-huh.
Drove up in our 98 Subaru, parked up next to this beautiful Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow. And they had valet parking. So valet takes the car, parks it, and then after the party, guy drives a Subaru up using my 2003 Dodge Caravan key.
Really?
Yeah. It turned. They got it going and everything like this. But then when they parked it and I went to drive it off, I couldn't get the key out or to turn. They jiggled the key out.
They did?
Yeah. So my question is...
Were you watching while they jiggled?
Yeah, I was watching. A lot of jiggling, a lot of banging. So my question is, what kind of damage did they do?
But the correct keys work for both vehicles now?
The Subaru key, yes. So they got the Dodge key out, the Subaru key works.
And the Dodge key works as
right.
well.
Well, here's the interesting part. Can you get the Subaru key to work in the Dodge?
I should try that.
No, I don't think so. I think it was complete and utter luck that they managed to get. I mean, that is a one in a million shot, especially considering it's a different manufacturer.
I'm wondering if they forced something and broke something inside there.
Well, they may have forced it, but if they in fact broke the thing, you'd be able to start it now with a screwdriver.
Yeah, it reminds me. I had an elementary school principal who had an old VW Bug who broke the key inside the ignition, and that's what he used. He used a little butter knife that he left.
Oh, that's because the key is in there already.
Yeah.
But
you
don't have that situation.
I would let sleeping dogs lie here.
Just forget about it.
Yeah, and the next time to avoid this, give them one key.
Yeah,
good lesson learned.
But you went to a pretty fancy little party there.
Yeah, how was the party?
Oh, it was great. It was the first black tie affair we'd ever been to.
Wow.
So how did you get an invitation when all these swells were there?
Good question.
Your wife knew somebody.
Yeah, friends, siblings, friends, cousins, or something like that, you know.
Well, whose Silver Shadow was it?
I think it was the owner's. I mean, it was one of these ginormous mansion houses up in the hills of the East Bay, San Francisco area. Yeah.
Well, did you manage to score any silverware or anything? you're always going to be on the lookout for that. First, you're going to check for the cameras, and then if there aren't any, you know, you got to grab some, you know, a tea service or something if you can.
Right. Well, we were admiring the original Chagall up on the wall there. It was
no kidding.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
That's
oh,
pretty
yeah.
impressive
oh, yeah. Those Sam
right.
Chagalls. Is that the guy that you have? Sam Chagall?
Sam, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, Kenneth, look, I think you're okay.
Don't worry about it.
And if anything, only the Subaru got damaged, obviously. And to be on the safe side, you might want to just check the key, the Dodge key, to make sure it isn't bent and in danger of breaking.
So do you think my Dodge key might work in the Silver Shadow?
You might. but your Dodge
don't
key,
press your
they
lock.
Might have weakened it trying to twist the lock to get the thing out.
Right.
And if they did that and that key is weak, that could break. And my advice would be to ditch that key.
Yeah, have another key made.
And then throw,
and
that,
then
one
throw
out.
That one away. And you're
sounds
all
good.
Set. Don't worry about it.
And next time you park the Subaru, give them that Dodge key again. See if they can duplicate it. See you later, man.
All right, take care. Thanks a lot.
Oh, boy.
All right, look.
Pretty lucky.
It's time for us to take a short break, right?
Yeah.
And give our listeners a chance to get some updates from their stations.
Do we have to take these breaks?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's in our contract with NPR.
NPR is a contract on us?
Not on us, you knucklehead. With us.
Oh, you scared me for a second. I thought they were finally getting serious.
Don't give them any ideas. We'll be back with a new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
January snow.
And even though kids ask their parents why there's no fast-forward button on the radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah. Brief, succinct.
Did I say that?
No.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
A longtime customer named Pell Osborne was at the shop a few days ago, and he brought his young son, William, along. And while we discussed Pell's car, William was looking around the shop, and within a few minutes, he found, we have a bunch of signs hanging up in the shop, and he found a sign that had been hanging up there for 20 years that had a punctuation mistake.
Oh.
And he said, you know, that sign's not right, because I was embarrassed, but his dad explained that it's kind of a hobby of his son's to find either grammatical or spelling or punctuation mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, so I took the kid in the corner and gave him a couple of noogies in the head, and I got him to give me a Puzzler.
How old is this kid?
I don't know, but under 30. Anyway, this is a word puzzler, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to read three sentences, and there's a mistake in one of them.
Ah.
And I'm going to try to read them as clearly as I possibly can.
Should I write anything down here?
Sure. It might do you well to listen.
I'll listen. Okay.
A recent space shuttle mission almost ended in disaster. End of sentence number one. While the shuttle and the International Space Station were engaged in their docking operation, the two crafts almost collided. End of sentence number two. A quick-thinking crew member saved the day. I'll read the three sentences again.
Yeah.
A recent space shuttle mission almost ended in disaster. While the shuttle and the International Space Station were engaged in their docking operation, the two crafts almost collided. A quick-thinking crew member saved the day.
Okay, I know the answer.
You do. You may know it. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Mary. I live in Chokan, New York.
Hi, Mary.
In where, New York?
Chokan. Actually, the question you're supposed to ask is, can you tell us where you live? And I get to say Chokan.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Chokan. It's Chokan, right? Chokan?
Chokan. Hovering in the Catskills outside Woodstock, overlooking the beautiful New York watershed.
No kidding. I can't say that I've ever heard of Chokan. Is it like Spokane?
Yeah, it's a Spokane of the East.
Yeah.
Chokan of the East, the capital of the Catskills.
Capital of the Catskills. Great.
Oh, cool.
So what's
up?
Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Well,
what's up?
I have an interesting problem for you, and I knew you were the right people to ask about it. I've got a 17-year-old son who is looking for his first car.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend's mother has offered him free a 1976 Dodge Dart. Now, what I need to know is, what are the implications in this? And, in fact, is this a vehicle that I would want my beloved son driving around in?
Gee, that's good.
A 1976?
Is she currently
old? You know, we live in the mountains. I don't even know if this thing can go up and down hills. Up, maybe, and I think maybe she's thinking downhill real fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, this can go up and down hills when it goes.
When it
76,
goes.
I have to say, was one of the dark years at the Chrysler Corporation.
Why did I suspect as much?
I mean, it was, but not really that bad. The fact that the car is still on the road, is it on the road?
Well, yeah.
In the yard, at least. It's still visible.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, it's visible.
Yeah. Does it run? I mean, has anyone driven it or started the engine? Because this may all be a moot point here.
Yes, in fact, it was driven until about 6 months ago, and it has sort of been moved periodically.
Yeah. So
from one person's driveway to the next person's driveway, you only put up with it as long as they could stand to look at it.
All right, I got a couple of questions. One is, we can address these in any order that you like,
okay,
Mary. One is, what does your son think about this car?
Oh, well, he just thinks it's you know,
he's thrilled. He's thrilled.
He is.
You know, it's free, number one. That he likes that because that means he doesn't have to invest all of his $0 into something that... The drawback for me is he does have to come up with the money to insure it himself.
Yeah.
I figure that maybe they drive more carefully if they had to pay for the insurance. I'm not sure that's true. He's actually an okay driver. I'm less concerned than I thought I would be before he was driving. But
well, I mean, evidence about what kind of a driver he is when you were present.
Right. Well, yes, actually.
Yeah. So,
he won't be doing one advantage. He won't be doing much speeding with this car.
Well, that alone is very reassuring to me. I mean, he's, you know, we live in the mountains.
Well, this could have a 383 V8 in it, for all we know.
No, it's got a slant 6.
Do you know that?
I don't know.
We don't know that.
Well, it's probably,
here's what I do know. I know that it had a slight leak, I was told by a mechanic, I did have somebody look at it, but I think he just wants it out of his lot, so I think he would tell me anything. But their solution was that they should just keep putting oil in. Well, that worries me a little bit.
No, that's okay.
That is okay?
Yeah, well, I think so.
It might be okay. It depends on where the oil is leaking from and how much oil is leaking.
Okay.
I'm sorry, did you know where?
No.
You don't know where.
And then I know that there was some difficulty with the brake, and so that is something that we would definitely take care of.
So this guy has actually checked out the entire car?
Well, he'd done some work on it some time ago. And he took a look at it, and it's been sitting on his lot, and he wants it to go away.
Yeah.
Clearly, he wants it away.
Well, so he has an interest in convincing you that the car's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would really take
it. The thing that he told me is that, well, it would be a great car for a teenager because they get into 3 accidents their first year of driving anyway. Mm-hmm. And that didn't seem...
And on this car, you won't even notice it.
Well, no, it's true. You won't. No. I mean, this is a really ugly green car, and it's full of dents already.
Yeah, so. I mean, I would definitely take it somewhere else, someone who doesn't have a vested interest in getting rid of it, and have them really check it out to make sure it's safe.
Okay. Especially the condition of the brake lines, the hydraulic lines, both the steel lines and the rubber ones, because if they fail, it could be disastrous. And you also want to check the front end to make sure that the ball joints and tie rod ends are in good order.
Right, because you don't want wheels
to fall off. Of this car, number one, it is simple, so it's not going to break down, assuming that it's in reasonably good shape to begin with. It's not going to break down every week. When it does break down, it's simple enough so that he can work on it and actually learn something.
Yeah.
From it.
A concept.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it has seat belts.
Yeah. Yes, it does, actually. It has no back seat, so I don't have to worry about that, or maybe I do.
It has no back seat?
It's just shot.
How far away does the girlfriend...
How far away does she live? She lives about 10 miles away. Local
now,
driving.
That brings me to my second question, which is, what is the girlfriend's mother's motivation in wanting to give this car...
Well, that was my biggest concern.
Yeah, mine too.
You know? She would not allow her daughter to drive this car in the winter last year, and I am worried about winter because it's a rear-wheel drive. And
sure,
that makes me nervous. Obviously.
And there, I presume there are mountains around where you are.
There are definitely mountains, and as a matter of fact, at the moment we've got something like a foot and a half of snow out there.
Yeah.
So I have some concern about that.
Does this girlfriend's mother have some
ulterior motive?
I mean,
like she won't allow her daughter to get in the car with him, and she's just going to say, "No, I don't."
Did she remove the back seat?
It's already gone. I mean, it's totally destroyed. So whatever happened back there, I don't want to know about it.
Worn out.
Is the girlfriend particularly unmarriable?
Absolutely not. This is a beautiful Polly, and she is really adorable.
Really? Then we must really question the mother's motivation here.
Yes, I know. I thought perhaps at first, I was really worried at first. What do you mean, a free car? She wants you to take this car. But I really think it's that they've got two other cars, and there's no place to
I mean, let's not get carried away, for one thing. I mean, we're using the term car with the loosest meaning of the word.
Right.
You know, so it's barely a car at this point.
Right.
It may be perfectly okay for your 17-year-old son to go and visit his girlfriend, but it won't take them much further than that little 10-mile commute.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I like that.
I have to say, I'm favorably disposed.
I can get to college, back and forth, And he can get to her house and back and forth, but he can't go tooling around in parts unknown.
As long as you make sure that it really is safe.
Right, absolutely. That's a number
And don't
one.
Trust that sleazeball mechanic up the street. He's trying to get rid of it.
No, these are the guys at the in Bearsville. I mean, how could you not trust some guys who live in a place and work in a place called Bearsville, New York?
Bearsville's good.
Bearsville's good.
Go for it, Mary.
It's cool. Thank you so much, guys. Love you.
Thanks, Mary.
See you.
Bye-bye. Sure can.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carl from Mansfield, Connecticut.
Hi, Carl.
Oh, so it's Carl with a C.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Where's Mansfield, Connecticut?
We're in northeast Connecticut.
Northeast, right on the Massachusetts-Rhode Island border.
No, a little bit south and west from that.
Ah,
northeast quadrant.
Got it.
Okay. Right. We're ready. Go ahead.
Okay.
Shoot.
I have a house with a 400-foot-long driveway that climbs at about an 8% slope. And it's a lot of work to clear it of snow, or I have to pay about $30 to have somebody come in and plow it. Now, I have a Plymouth Voyager with, it's got 145,000 kilometers on it.
I know the question already.
Yeah, can I put a plow
there
on it?
There you go.
Well, you can, but then you'll just get stuck with a plow in front of you.
Right. Is that so? The idea would be I'd park it at the top of the slope.
Well, sure.
And plow my way down.
Yeah.
And the question is, would I ruin my transmission? And second, would I have enough traction with just front-wheel drive?
Well, you'll be
have you ever heard the expression, a snowball's chance?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the truth is, depending on how much snow there is.
Right.
On the times when you would have enough power to plow, you could probably just drive out.
Right.
And on the times when the plow wouldn't make it,
right,
you wouldn't make it anyway.
I see.
That's my guess.
So what do the pickup trucks have that I don't? Four-wheel drive
and mass.
Right.
Yeah.
They have a lot of weight.
Yeah.
All right.
And so you need, I mean, you'll be able to get down the driveway with the plow on it. I mean, if your idea.
Then what are you going to do, drive the plow to work?
Yeah.
No, you take it off at the bottom of the driveway.
Yeah,
snap
sure.
Snap it off.
It takes 20 guys to get a plow off of a truck.
Well, you summon some of the neighbors.
Right.
Well, if you're going to summon them, give them shovels to let them clear the driveway.
Yeah, what ever possessed you to buy this house in the spring? You
it
bought
was
it,
cheap.
Huh?
It was cheap.
That's right. It was cheap.
It was cheap. I know.
And it stuck up in the woods.
And the real estate agent said, driveway? What driveway? Oh, that won't be a problem. It hardly ever snows here.
Right.
I mean, we've recommended this to other people with the same facing the same dilemma that you face.
Okay.
And you might want to get yourself an old, beat-up vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a plow on it.
Right.
And it only has to start 5 or 6 times a year.
Right.
You squirt a little ether into it. It starts up. You drive down and you clear out the snow.
Right.
And then you leave it down there so you can plow yourself back up at night. And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's fun, too.
All right.
You won't have any fun plowing with the Voyager. But you'd have fun plowing with an old Willys Jeep.
Right.
Oh, man.
There you go.
There you go. That's for you, Carl.
And what's this 145,000 kilometers business?
I'm sorry.
What language are you in?
I misspoke. Miles.
Oh, it is miles.
I used to be overseas. We did everything in kilometers.
Where were you?
The Sultanate of Oman. On the Arabian Peninsula.
No kidding.
Really? That's much more interesting than your driveway.
What are you doing there? You were in the military?
No, I was a water scientist, and I do the same thing here now.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's groundwater.
What's the deal with Oman? Is that a great place or what?
Yeah, they have a tourism industry. It's one of the few Arabian countries, you know, on the Arabian Gulf that want tourists to come. It's a very interesting place and very nice people.
Great. The Sultanate of Oman.
Sultanate.
Yeah, very exotic.
Oh, man.
And water. So what are you guys, like, reconstitute? What are you, like, water isn't still H2O? I don't know. Did I miss something?
He's a water scientist.
Yeah, right. There isn't a lot of science involved in the water, is there?
Are you kidding?
I'm just...
Tell him, Carl.
I'm just guessing.
Tell him, Carl. Tell him.
We have to figure out how much they have so they can plan. You know?
Oh, that kind
of
water
science.
Oh, that kind
of science.
Yeah.
Oh, so who do you work for now?
Oh, I work for an environmental consulting firm here. In this country, it's all dealing with cleaning up the water.
Ah,
over there,
okay.
It's simply finding it.
Yeah,
right. They can't find it, and we found it, and we ruined it.
That's sort of true.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
A pleasure talking to you, Carl.
Thank you.
See you good later. Luck.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Some people just go and have interesting things to do. I mean, some of us, we sit here, we do our same old job day after day.
Day and year after year.
We never do anything exciting. Carl goes
sitting
to the...
Sitting across the table from the same ugly guy for 20 years. Carl goes to the Sultanate
of Oman.
Of Oman.
I mean, I don't know how many people are sitting at their radios as we speak saying, I'm going to go to the Sultanate of Oman myself. I'm sick of sitting here in Boise, Idaho,
right,
doing accounting. To hell with accounting. And tomorrow, that guy will be on a plane to the Sultanate of Oman.
And sold 9,000
And in a week, people. He will have the worst case of diarrhea.
There you go. Yet another group alienated. The Omanians.
Omanis.
Omanis.
The Omanis.
The Omanis.
Crossword puzzle word. That's the only reason I knew where it was.
Oh, boy. We've managed to tick somebody off every week. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bastille smoked seal, braised veal, and candied eel happy meal, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our marine weather forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our staff dietitian is Diana Unger. Our tolerance quality control guy is
Diana Unger. I got it.
Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatou. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the snowshoeing mimes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
Don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1402, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our guide to safe jump starting.
No conflagrations?
No.
No red hot cables?
No.
Not even a little smoke? Come on, you're ruining all my fun, man.
Print out Car Talk's Guide to Safe Jump Starts and stick it in your glove box.
I beg your pardon.
It's available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though ice fishermen kick their radios into the nearest hole whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.